Voices of the Elephant is proudly sponsored by SiteGround.com, a leader in website hosting and a terrific partner for all your website projects. Their top-notch technologies will make your websites fast and secure. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans. I'm your host, and my special guest today is Mr. Sebastian Groditsky. Say hi to everybody, Sebastian.
Hi, help.
I know I butchered your last name. I do apologize. And for all of those in Poland listening, yes, I know that it was wrong, and you can yell at me on Twitter. Anyhow, Sebastian, I want to thank you for taking the time to be here today. Hey, this is your first time on Voices of the Elephant, so I'm going to ask you the same question I ask everybody, which is, what's your hero backstory? How did you get into programming, and then how did you get into PHP?
Okay, so for me, it all started with creating simple websites, I would say, so the basic HTML without CSS back then. And I even started before getting an internet connection at home, so I remembered saving those HTML files on a floppy disk, if you remember what that is. So a 3.5-inch floppy disk. And I brought them to my neighbor, who uploaded them somewhere on the internet. And that was basically the starting point for me. I even remember he corrected my mistakes. I didn't know that index.html was a starting point for creating websites, for example. Very soon, I also discovered PHP. So this was 20 years ago. And fast forward, I'm currently CTO at Showroom, which is an e-commerce marketplace for fashion. Mm. And as you might think and know, it's PHP related. So the backend is PHP. Basically for the last 15 years for professional work, PHP had paid my bills. So this is my story.
Very cool. Now, your CTO at Showroom, do you still write code at Showroom, or have you handed that off to your developers?
I try to. Definitely, it's not my main task to do, and I rather spend my time elsewhere helping the team to grow or to do their stuff. But if I can write code, I still do. Today, I wrote a couple of lines, so I'm still into programming. So I call myself a developer all the time. So it's not like the CTO has vanished that way.
Well, that's excellent. Well, you are a developer, because that's one of the reasons I had you on. Let's talk about, I saw a tweet the other day where you tweeted out that you got a talk on serverless PHP accepted to Symphony Live Warsaw, which I believe has already happened now, but or is coming up very soon.
It will be in a month. It will be in a month. Yep.
But you got a talk accepted on serverless PHP, and that's a topic that a lot of people are interested in, but not a lot of people are talking about yet, or at least at conferences. I did some research on serverless talks and could find a couple of people. I mean, Rob Allen and Matthias, I forget Matthias' last name, a couple of people, but they're few and far between. Talk to us a little bit about how you got into serverless and then what your talk is all about.
Okay, so definitely for PHP, it wasn't a buzzword for a long time, because serverless is not a new thing, I would say, because, for example, we have the Amazon stuff, which is even 10 or 15 years ago with serverless like Quis and so on. But serverless for PHP is a thing since last year, because Amazon has developed something called Layers for their Lambda thing, which is serverless in AWS terms, and you have Cloud Functions, Google, and so on, but only AWS does support PHP natively currently. So, and this is also why it's becoming a hot topic for PHP, because you now can run production workloads on Lambda with PHP in the background. So, and this is also what my talk is about. So I'm trying to show the audience how to do it, so basically, because it's not so easy as with the interface for Node or Python. Before you could do it with Python from the console of AWS, but they decided to take it to the next level, and now you can do your own, let's say, layers or binaries, so you can ship every PHP version you want to, and even do different layers for profiling, for example, and so on. So because of that, that's not so easy. There is a lot of tooling that has become popular. And Matthias is one of the guys you mentioned who is working on it. Mm-hmm. So there is a project called Breath, which makes it easier for you to get started with serverless in PHP, in the PHP world, basically. So it is possible to run PHP on serverless and Lambda, and there is a lot of cool use cases you can use it on. And it's not only about the money, it's also about performance and about, I don't know, a truly event-driven applications and so on. So I think I'm very into that topic, and it's very interesting for me to see how also my team at the company is using it currently. Yeah, so this is the talk I will be doing at Symphony Live in Warsaw in a month. So if you can come to Warsaw, please do. And if not, so hopefully there will be a recording available.
Very cool. Now, my friend Max Griffith over in the UK was talking on Twitter to somebody about serverless, and he said that his biggest problem was the latency, and that PHP had a huge latency when doing serverless. Now, he does admit that his information, he had done some benchmarks a while ago, and you know, they showed bad, but other people were saying you can get PHP's latency down to 3 milliseconds. So what are you seeing? Are you seeing that latency is still a performance issue, or has that pretty much gone away for PHP?
Okay, so I would say serverless is not a silver bullet, so it won't solve all of your problems. Definitely, you have to be aware of the weaknesses. And the latency, or so-called cold starts, are a thing. So this is the case, and it's not only PHP. It's the case where Amazon gets your code, or any other cloud provider in the future, and they have to set it up. So it's lightweight, but it still takes milliseconds or hundreds of milliseconds to boot that container with your code and with your application. So the first time you do a request, that is a thing. And it's mostly like 100 or 200 milliseconds or even more to boot that up. But if it gets a first request, all the other requests are then down to a millisecond or two for a simple PHP code, I would say hello world example. So this is kind of the same performance you can get out of a typical web server. So yeah, cold starts are a thing, but for most use cases, I would recommend serverless to use. That's not an issue, because if you do, like, let's say in a queue, you run jobs, then latency is not a problem, I would say, because you don't pay for it. So this is also an important thing. You only pay for the time your code is running on serverless, and not the bootstrapping of it. So you have to wait a bit, but as I said, for the most use cases, that's not a problem. Or you can just warm it up with a couple of requests, and then you're fine.
Now it's time for you to be a game changer with the RingCentral Developers Game Changer Program. Grow your skills, help others in the community, and get rewarded with awesome prizes like RingCentral swag, conference tickets, software, iPads, computers, and so much more. Don't just be a developer, be a game changer and join the program today. For more information, visit developers.ringcentral.com. Now, you've already built this talk. You're going to present it in May. Give our listeners one nugget of truth about serverless that they can take away and they can use.
Okay, so I would say serverless is great for applications for microservices. So you can have like an isolation between your applications, and you don't have to boot up hundreds of servers for this, so you don't pay for them. That's a good thing for small companies especially. And the second thing would be these event-driven style. So it's not about porting your current application to serverless, because you can, of course, but there are different use cases for serverless, especially if you want to make event-driven applications, for example, run a single function and then that function produce another event, you can do something else and so on. So I would just encourage to play around and do a hybrid solution. So not to port all your code, just run a thing of your application that is, I would say, not stable in requests, or it does has a special use case for serverless you can rely on, and give it a go, basically.
Very interesting. Now, you've been doing PHP for a while, and I know that one of your passions about PHP is performance, and you use several different performance tools, including Blackfire, to make sure that you're squeezing the absolute most out of your PHP applications. Talk to us a little bit about performance. Where do you see this headed? Obviously, with PHP 7 and all the different versions, PHP's gotten much faster. Do you see that in practical application, or is this just in benchmarks? And, you know, how is this affecting how you code PHP?
No, for sure. Like, PHP is getting faster and faster. And the best advice would be just to upgrade if you are on not the latest version. And that's an obvious thing you should do. But then performance and profiling with Blackfire and other tools comes more down to human error, which is happening, and it's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You have just to know what the code is doing underneath, and especially on production. And that's a thing where I love Blackfire, because it doesn't have an overhead on production. So we have it on all our servers. And if something is slow, or we just want to do a profile on that thing, or even on microservices, doing requests on a couple of services, we do it with Blackfire, and then we spot most of the time the problem we can solve easily, I would say, because it just shows you where it is. And the typical problem is like N plus one queries or database queries, or you have like a network connection. So that also shows you that it's not PHP that is slow. It's the use case you are using the tool for example, doing something over the wire, which even with Go would be slow, because it's not PHP waiting. It's PHP waiting for something and not for itself. So I do it a lot. And as I said, we have it also like on production. We have it in tests. We do it in development phases and so on. So I did a lot of talks about that already. And I also think that's a good thing to do. It's not a thing in serverless yet, so to just combine these two topics. But hopefully with the layers of AWS, we can also work on a layer with Blackfire and then add it on top of the PHP layer. It should be doable, but nobody did it yet, as far as I know. But we will get it there, I think.
Now, have you started playing with PHP 7.4 and the preloading yet?
And I have read about it. I don't do it myself most of the time, because it is very time consuming. So I'm just watching the trends and the more senior guys who are doing it, basically. So I'm definitely seeing a lot of cool stuff coming in. I was also attending a talk by Rasmus about that. So I think, it is like PHP is a very good choice, I think, in web development. And that's also why I'm into it since, as I said, many years currently. And I'm not thinking that PHP is dead or anything like that, because it's most of the time people saying outside of the PHP world that's the case. And I think it's definitely not.
I totally agree with you. And I really can't wait to see the performance gains that preloading is going to give us, because I think that's going to be the next big jump in speed. I think the core has managed to squeeze most of the excess out of the core language now, but now we're looking at some really interesting new things coming down the pipe. Hey, Sebastian, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here today. I really enjoyed this conversation. I learned a lot. And audience, I want to thank you for being here. I hope you learned as much as I did and even more. And we'll see you next week right here on Voices of the Elephant. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com.
Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.